Good morning. On today's programme, anti-French sentiment on the rise in Senegal and UK supermarkets scrap self-checkouts. But first we go to Denmark, and after refusing to sign a routine collective bargaining agreement with Swedish mechanics, Tesla finds itself in an increasingly difficult position in Scandinavia. Dock workers in Denmark will now stop shipping its Tesla cars into Sweden. From Copenhagen, Owen O'Sullivan reports.
Although it is the most popular car brand in Scandinavia this year, Tesla and its CEO Elon Musk have recently found themselves facing the wrath of the working force in the region. On the 27th of October, around 130 Swedish mechanics who serve Tesla cars went on strike after the carmaker turned down their request for collective bargaining. Collective bargaining with unions is considered routine for the Nordic labour market model, guaranteeing wages and working conditions. And even though many of the Tesla employees in Sweden are union members, they will not receive the benefits of a collective bargaining agreement unless Tesla also signs on. Tesla, who has 127,000 employees globally, has up until now resisted any form of unionisation, which is in stark contrast to Scandinavia, where unions are entwined with the culture and support for unions is strong, with nearly 75% of all workers being members of unions in Sweden, Norway and Denmark. But what may have begun as a minor workers' dispute has quickly snowballed into a much larger, more serious issue for the company, with support for the strike quickly being taken on by other Swedish unions, such as post workers from PostNord, refusing to deliver Tesla license plates. Now, other Scandinavian nations have taken notice of the dispute and are affronted by Tesla's stubbornness. Denmark's largest union, 3F, announced on Tuesday that from the 20th of December, its dock workers and drivers will no longer deliver Tesla cars to Sweden. Following this, Denmark's metalwork union, Dansk Metal, who also have members working for Tesla, have said they are considering taking strike action as well, with its deputy chairman telling the Danish national broadcaster, DR, that "we actually have the same problem in Denmark with Tesla as they have in Sweden. We would like to see a joint Nordic coordination in order to put on as much pressure on Tesla as possible. This coordination may well already be underway, with Norwegian and Finnish unions saying they will also take action if the dispute is not reconciled by the 20th of December, which would severely hamper the shipment of Tesla cars into Sweden." So far, Tesla's steps to contain the situation have seemed to fail, with a Swedish court this week finding in favour of the PostNord workers refusing to deliver license plates. There are already real financial ramifications for the company as well, with the news on Wednesday that Pension Denmark, a pension company affiliated with the 3F union, will be selling off its Tesla stocks. In a statement Pension Denmark made to DR, it said, "In light of the fact that the conflict is now spreading to Denmark, as well as Tesla's recent categorical refusal to sign an agreement to any country, we have come to the conclusion that we, as investors, hardly have any opportunity to influence the company." This categorical refusal seems to have been solidified by recent statements by CEO Elon Musk, who has called the Swedish strikes insane. And when asked for his views on unions in a recent interview, Mr. Musk stated that, "I don't agree with the idea of unions. I don't like the idea of creating a lord and peasant sort of thing. I think unions naturally try to create negativity in a company, a stance that is unlikely to abate growing tensions." It is now becoming clear that the longer this stalemate lasts, the stronger the chance of a knock-on effect for the customer. With electric car sales in Scandinavia being among the highest in Europe, Tesla Model Y being the most sold car in Denmark in 2023, and battery electric cars making up 79% of cars sold in Norway last year, it is not a market Mr. Musk will want to alienate. And with Swedish startup Northvolt, who is backed by Volkswagen, announcing in November a breakthrough in its sodium-ion battery, which could rival Tesla's lithium-ion-based battery, customers could find alternative electric vehicle companies in the region in the not-too-distant future. But Tesla's immediate concern now may well be simply to contain the strike action to Scandinavia. If it were to move further south, to Germany, where Tesla's European production factory is, where it produces its highly successful Model Y, a strike would have serious implications on the carmaker internationally and may force it to reconsider its stance on unions completely. For World Report in Copenhagen, I'm Owen O'Sullivan.
Next to Senegal, where the days of the Franco-Senegalese special relationship appear to be numbered. Anti-French sentiment is on the rise due to a youthful population untethered to the past. From Dakar, Mary Fitzgerald has more.
It's a humid morning in Dakar when I meet Ibrahima at the top of the African Renaissance Monument. Towering over the Senegalese capital, the 49-meter bronze sculpture depicts a man, woman, and child gazing towards the Atlantic. Ibrahima, a young teacher, considers it an inspiring symbol. "It captures our confidence," he tells me. "This is a new era for Africa, and we are a new generation." We discuss Ibrahima's transforming continent. Most dramatically, the wave of coups that has taken place in several countries since 2020, unnerving both democrats and autocrats in other African capitals. In each case, specific local dynamics were key, but what the affected countries have in common is that they are all former French colonies. Coups in these states were accompanied by anti-French rhetoric and accusations that the deposed leaders were too close to Paris. In September, the French newspaper Le Monde asked if Chad or Senegal, both former colonies that remain important allies for France, might be next. Ibrahima believes such a scenario is unlikely here for several reasons, related to domestic politics, but also the nature of the bilateral relationship. While the coup-affected countries had a significant and often fiercely resented French military presence, France closed its army bases in Senegal in 2010 and plans to reduce the remaining French military personnel here by the end of the year. That said, Ibrahima argues, there is much room for improvement. When he was first elected president in 2017, Emmanuel Macron raised hopes of a new French engagement with Africa. Shortly after his election, Macron told students in Burkina Faso that he is of a generation that, as he put it, doesn't tell Africans what to do. He promised to return artifacts looted during the colonial era and insisted that the murky tangle of overlapping post-colonial business and political connections known as La France-Afrique was long over. Many in Africa, including here in Senegal, remain unconvinced. In Dakar, France is highly visible. The city is dotted with major French supermarkets. There are French banks, French bakery chains, and numerous filling stations owned by French oil companies. French cell phone networks dominate the local market. Highway tolls on the road linking downtown Dakar to its international airport are collected by a French construction company that has operated in Senegal since the 1920s. Daily life here is powered by the CFA franc, the controversial currency used by several francophone countries in Africa and pegged to the euro under a French government guarantee. Its critics say this allows France to control the economies of the countries that use the franc, while Paris counters that it contributes to economic stability. Calls to abolish the CFA franc system, which dates back to the colonial era, are frequent across francophone Africa, including Senegal. There's a clear generational divide when it comes to critiques of France in Senegal. Many youth here, struggling with limited prospects, bristle over what they see as the complacency of an older French-educated elite out of touch with a rapidly changing Africa where the median age is 19. The Senegalese opposition likes to portray President Macky Sall as a French puppet. In June, the sentencing of his main opponent, Ousmane Sonko, sparked widespread demonstrations which turned violent. At least 16 people were killed. French-linked businesses were targeted. Following the unrest, Sall said he would not seek another term in presidential elections scheduled for February. The situation remains tense. Driving around Dakar, I noticed scrubbed-out graffiti criticizing Sall and his links with France. Murals mocking the former colonial power have appeared in recent months, only to be quickly painted over. France has long been a key supporter of artistic and cultural projects in Senegal, but the vibrant creative sector here has not been immune to anti-French political crosswinds. A number of young artists here now refuse French funding. And, as in other parts of Francophone Africa, there has been a pushback against the French language. Several young Senegalese told me they're more interested in learning English, seeing it as a global language of opportunity. In Paris, there is much debate over how to counter growing anti-French sentiment in Africa. In Dakar and other capitals, young Africans like Ibrahima say they want to decide the terms of future relations with France. What that new relationship might look like remains to be seen. From Dakar, this is Mary Fitzgerald for World Report.
Finally, supermarkets around the world are continuing to install self-checkout tills, but are retailers annoying customers by forcing them to use automated services to pay for groceries? British supermarket chain Boots has decided to scrap tills run by artificial intelligence, as Russell Padmore reports from London.
Self-checkout tills can be frustrating, especially when the process gets disrupted with messages like "unidentified item in the bagging area." Artificial intelligence can seem stupid when it doesn't recognise a basic item like a loaf or can't read a barcode on fruit. For many years, self-checkouts have been used to reduce queues alongside plans to cut staff. Supermarkets have even added larger automated checkouts for people with trolleys. But Boots, a chain of supermarkets in the north of England, is reversing the trend by removing self-checkouts. The company explained its decision as the right thing to do. Boots Managing Director Nigel Murray said, "Our customers have told us that the self-scan machines in our stores can be slow. They can be unreliable. They're obviously impersonal." Boots, which has been owned by the same family since 1847, operates 28 stores in Lancashire, Cumbria, Cheshire and Yorkshire. The move to refocus on customer service by providing more checkout staff could force other retailers here to rethink the expanded use of automated tills. Tesco has been promoting "no scanning, no checkouts, no queues" at stores in Birmingham and London. Its rivals, Aldi, Morrisons and Sainsbury's, are rolling out more self-checkouts. But automated checkouts are not ideal for elderly shoppers or a parent struggling with children. Research has shown it takes on average 3 times longer to use them. Supermarkets, which think automated tills will reduce staff, need to employ more supervisors to correct technical errors and more security staff to prevent shoplifting. Theft has increased significantly amid the cost of living crisis. The American retail group Kroger's recently expanded the use of automated checkout lanes, which prompted customers to react by saying, "they don't work," or "I will only use them as a last resort." Stu Leonard, who runs a chain of stores in New York and New Jersey, notes younger customers favour automated checkouts. "I don't see much grey hair in the self-checkout line," he says. According to the London-based research group RBR, retailers in Australia, China, Malaysia and Indonesia are driving the growth in the use of the technology. Here in the UK, they've grown significantly since the 1990s. By 2021, retailers had about 325,000 in operation. The use of artificial intelligence is highlighted by automated checkouts in supermarkets. But the retail industry is being forced to rethink what kind of service customers want. The next time you're in a supermarket with automated checkouts, take a look at the queues at the tills, which are staffed. Why are customers prepared to wait to be served by a human when they could use a robotic till? Shoppers at the UK supermarket chain Sainsbury may think they're finished, but before leaving, they encounter a barrier where they have to scan their receipt before being allowed to exit. It's aimed at discouraging theft. Boots has axed self-service checkouts, and other British supermarkets, Morrisons and Waitrose, are removing some automated tills. According to a study by the University of Leicester, shops that install self-service tills suffer an increase of 122% in lost revenue. People can get confused and forget to scan items, or some shoppers get so frustrated by delays they feel justified in not paying for an item. But mostly shrinkage, as the retail sector calls theft, happens because the technology makes it easier and it's difficult to prove a customer didn't make a mistake out of sight of human cashiers. During the COVID pandemic, retail staff were regarded as heroes in the front line. But customers nowadays forced to use a checkout driven by AI, who believe supermarkets are using the technology to reduce staff, are taking a negative view. Perhaps the self-interest of limiting loss, as well as resistance among customers to automated shopping, is sending retailers back to the drawing board. Experts have recently warned that artificial intelligence is a threat to humans, so for now, the retail robots may have suffered a setback. Perhaps, though, it's just a temporary glitch causing a slowdown in the forward march of AI technology at your local supermarket. This is Russell Padmore for World Report in London.
That's it from World Report for today. The programme was edited by Elaine Devlin. If you want to listen back, you can go to rte.ie/worldreport or wherever you get your podcasts. We're back again at the same time next week. Until then, from myself, Sharon Lynch, and all the team, thanks for listening and take care.